throughout the United States now. So everybody just wants to make an idiotic point because they have the freedom to do it. And that's the only reason that they're doing it. And of course, it appears that a lot of America wants to go with the trend that everybody else does and want to do their little gatherings and oppose everything, their rallies. But let me tell you something. Do these people not have a job, Melvin?
They do not. I think they get paid by whoever the idiot is that's causing all this stuff. That's their job, to go around and cause havoc. I wonder if you took a picture of the idiots that shows up at all these little gatherings and protests. They're probably the same daggone people that's in California, that's in Texas, that's here, and Charlottesville and everywhere. It's just the same group of idiots. They're absolute idiots.
Exactly. I mean, they have nothing better to do than to whine about some monuments. You know, it's history. So it's like they want to do away with the history because they all feel that they're getting their feelings hurt because it's reflected on them and their future. That's a bunch of crap.
Offensive. You know? They're offended. And you know, I just showed you this article. I pulled it up on AL.com, and I just about died. But I've always said this. This is the problem. This is why I take it so personal. They're never ever going to stop. You will never stop these idiots. You'll never stop this movement. There's not an end. For instance, if all the flags and all the monuments are gone, they're going to find something else. They're going to keep on, and eventually, I promise, eventually you can't say Confederate because it's a hate word.
Exactly.
Dixie's a hate word. Anything dealing with the South and the Southern cause and the Civil War is going to be hatred speech, and you're going to go to prison for it. If you own a Confederate flag, you will go to prison. In our lifetime, you will go to prison. That is how it is getting. It is nuts. And this article, I am flipping out. This is the first sentence of this article written on AL.com. The Alabama State Conference of the NAACP has announced it opposes the unveiling of a new Confederate monument at a private park. Let me read that again. At a private park in Crenshaw County. That's why I said it will never stop. So let's forget about all this public crap, all this public stuff that's going on. Now they're going to say, hey, if it's at your residence, it's at a private park, you can't have it.
Right.
You can't have it. It could because they are offended. And what it says in here, that it brings back bad. None of these idiots, nobody in here that opposes this stuff has suffered anything because of any of this stuff.
Exactly.
But they are offended by it.
Right.
So I've got a solution, Daryl.
Let's hear it.
All right.
Let's hear it.
Two of them. I think the president and I think all the governors has got to get together and they got to have a meeting and they got to say, all right, we're going to do something. If we take down one monument, all of them go. Every single thing in the United States goes. Everything. I'm talking about Bo Jackson down there at Auburn. I'm offended by looking at his statue. He was a great football player.
He was.
You know, I hated him when he played for Auburn, but he is spectacular.
He is.
Cam Newton, I hate him, still hate him. He's got to go.
Yeah.
He's got to go because I am offended. And there are probably, I would say in Alabama, there's a majority, overwhelming majority of Alabama fans versus Auburn fans. That's just
right.
Facts. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That's just facts. Not because I'm not an Alabama fan, but that's just facts. We are probably offended by Cam Newton and what he did to Alabama. So since that is on public property in Auburn, it has got to go. There's no reason why it's got to stay. And that goes with anything. That talks about the civil rights movements. That means half of Birmingham, any monument. Hey, the Vulcan statue. All of it's got to go. That's option number one. Option number two is to say, all right, I tell you what, cities. And Texas, Texas Longhorns. I mean, it's pathetic. If you want to move monuments and want to do stuff, you can do it. That's your right. But you're going to build museums to our specifications. It's going to cost you about $10-15 million. You're going to build a very nice museum, and you're going to put those monuments in that museum, and it's on the city's money.
Right.
That's it. City has to do it. And maybe this stuff will stop, but they won't. It's never going to stop.
Nope.
It's nuts. It is absolutely nuts.
Because I believe in my own mind that as time passes, the world's going to get crazier. I mean, that's just bottom line.
Obviously,
and things is not going to go back to the way that it used to be. So this is it's a crazy world that we live in, and unfortunately we give in way too much to everybody that says they're offended when half of them's not even offended.
Hey, let's beat up on Bob since we can. Bob Bentley. Listen, it goes back and it starts with him. And I'm going to tell you why it starts with him. When all of this stuff started up again a couple years ago in July in South Carolina, you know, they want to point it back to Dylan, whatever his name is, the little Dylan boy that killed the 9 people up there right. In South Carolina. The governor of South Carolina had said she wanted the flag move and she was going to legislature and everything else. All right. Within a few days later, our great governor, Bob Bentley, gets out and says, and he makes it, it is on a CBS interview. He says, she called for it, but I did it. I'm the first governor that removed Confederate flags.
Well, there you go.
That's his claim of victory or whatever else. And once he did that, it's just went crazy ever since then. And you know, and I thought for a while it had stopped, but then here it goes again. It's just
but
nuts.
But does it make you think that sometimes the reason that he done that is that he's trying to gain more votes if he was going to do another?
He is, but I'm going to tell you there's a bigger story behind it because I was, you know, I sued him on it and I was very involved in what all was going on and what all happened. As you can see what happened to him 2 years lately, he was being blackmailed.
Exactly.
There were people that knew what he was doing, and those people have been trying to get those flags removed from that Confederate monument for a long time. They came to him and says, you either move them or we're going to expose what's going on.
Right. And eventually he came out anyway.
Poor old Bob. Beat up on Bob. But y'all, I'm going to tell you, I want the monuments because they're historical. They are significant. They've been there since 1905. They haven't hurt anybody. If you're offended by them, don't go. You know, it's not like you walk everywhere and see them. You know what? The one down at Land Park they've got that's covered up, Frank Matthews and any of these other idiots down there that wants to show up and protest that thing and talk about how offended they are, why go on that side of the park? Right.
Exactly.
You got Land Park's beautiful. It's got tons of other stuff. You can go over there and you can walk all around. It's got the Civil Rights Trail. You got all kinds of stuff you can go do. You can go over and look at the they got one. What's the Spanish conflict? Well, I can't remember. They've got one for a war that we've never even heard of. But it was something crazy in the 1800s. That was a war. And they've got a monument. Go over and celebrate that thing. And you won't even know nothing about it. I think you can read a little bit about the monument and you think, why didn't you know we even had a war here, that this was something significant? But it's like a pirate's war, kind of something crazy. Tripoli. That's what Tripoli. It is. Tripoli. I swear they've got a monument down there for a war that we had with the little island of Tripoli. I swear. I didn't even know nothing about it. And I read it and I thought, man, that's kind of cool. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure somebody's offended by that monument, we need to take it down. Just take them all down. Take every single statue. Hey, that means Nick Saban's got to go.
I know.
Bear Bryant. That oh, my gosh. We'll have a civil war. But, hey, if you're taking them, let's take everything down.
I agree with
take
you.
Take them all down. All.
Not that I ever agree with Charles Barkley, even though he's very outspoken.
Yes.
And he's out there, okay? And of course, I believe his stand upon all of these monuments is that he doesn't really give a rip about any of them, and he doesn't like them. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
But on the flip side, as he's speaking with Rick Carley from Channel 6 in an interview, he says, "You know what? I don't give a flip about all the monuments, but if I don't like it, I'll just turn my head,
yes.
Just like everybody else should. You're not offended, and if you are offended, who cares?" You need to be worrying about getting an education,
yes.
And start bettering yourself. Black on black crime needs to stop. We need to stop killing each other. And let's look at better things to better yourself for your life and quit talking about monuments.
You know, and he is not the only one that says that. All of them. Alan West, there's a lot of... There's a lot of people that are... There are colored people, black people that are of... significance, like Charlie, you know, Charles Barkley, people that knows them, prominent people, all of them says that. Said, look, you know, that's what we need to worry about. And, you know, and here's the other thing, Big D. At these protests, I don't know that I see any black people at these protests. You know what I'm saying? It's usually right. just a bunch of idiots. It's just yep. a bunch of white, just not working trash idiots that's out there that's trying to, I don't know, I get they're trying to get their 15 minutes of fame.
That's it.
You go ask these, listen, I was involved with the this Lynn Park monument issue 2 years ago, and then I was flooded with phone calls and interviews about it last week when Mayor Bell decided to cover it up again. And I talked to numerous people down there, and there were so many people out there. I promise it wasn't a racial issue. There were so many black people saying they don't have nothing. None of this stuff speaks for them. They're not offended by it. It's crazy. And I had phone calls from everybody. I had emails from everybody 2 years ago. And nobody was offended by any of this stuff. It's just that they're trying to make something out of it. And it's just nuts. It's never going to stop.
All right, Melvin, we have a caller. Misty, you're on with Melvin Haston. What's your question or your statement?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hey, Melvin, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, based on child support, if you have a parent that makes over $1 million a year, and then you have another parent that makes $15,000 a year, what, when you have the child support bracket in the court system, how is the child support based upon? Is it percentage?
Yes, it
is. Or how do they do that?
It is based on percentage, but now there is a cap, and Lord almighty. So if somebody's in there says, I want my child support figured. You take just the parents' income, not step parents, spouses, whatever else. It's just the mom and the dad's income, and you add them together, and you get a number, and then you divide that out and see what percentage their income. So, for instance, one parent makes $33,000 a year, other parent makes $66,000 a year. So you add them together, that's $99,000 a year. Well, the one parent's got 33, it's one third. The 66 is 66%. That's real easy. That's easy math. Now then, you take that total amount of money that both their incomes are, and that number is used in something we call Rule 32. It's child support guidelines, and that gets you another number, and then you start using percentages. You add in health insurance costs, daycare costs, and stuff like that, and then eventually you come up with a child support number. Now then, you threw $1 million out there, and I don't know if you're just throwing that out there or if that's really
serious. No, I'm being serious.
Yes. The million, there is a cap on these child support guidelines. At one time, I thought it was $10,000, but I think they've raised it to like $20,000. I can't remember off the top of my head. And what it says then is anything above that is kind of up to the court's discretion, because these child support guidelines, the court has to follow them. If they decide not to follow them, they have to find reasons why they don't. Now, all of this is if you have a trial, the judge orders it. Okay, so the judge hears testimony, hears the income, and he orders child support. He's got to do the child support guidelines number. He has to, he or she, unless he or she finds a reason to deviate from it. And if they find a reason to deviate from it, they have to note it in the order why they do it. So these guidelines, like I said, if they're $20,000, if that's the high end of it, that's $240,000 a year. Once you get up to a $1 million thing, then that would think that the judge is not bound by the guidelines. He or she can set the child support at whatever amount they want to.
So anyone that makes, let's say, what is the top out of child support, basically in a court system?
That's what I'm saying. In the guidelines, I would think. Man, I'd have to look it up. I want to say it's 20,000. I want to say it's 20,000 a month is the top out. So both incomes together, $20,000, it would be how you figured it, and then it has that number on there that you use to get the child support. If it's one child, it's a certain number. If it's two children, it's a certain number. So, and I believe that the maximum amount is like $1,800 under that $20,000. I can't remember. I'm gonna look at it though. Mm-hmm. You got my.
Well, I get $1,000 a month.
Well, you're
and the judge decided it was just based on the child's needs.
Yeah, they should. if it's not by the guidelines, if you had a trial, you got to understand this. Mm-hmm. You can agree to whatever you want to, okay? Now, within reason, and the judge will most of the time sign it. So, hey, if somebody's supposed to owes you $2,000 a month in child support and you agree to $1,000, the judge is probably going to sign it. So, that's what you agree to, that's what you get. But now, if the judge hears the case and he's making the decision, no agreement whatsoever between the parties, he or she has to follow the guidelines. If they don't, they have to state in the order why they did not follow the guidelines.
Hmm. Yes. So let's say, for instance, with this child support deal, when I say this, as in contempt. So let's say that you have an order, and I'm just throwing this out there. Let's say you have an order, and the order is that one parent gets the child a week, the other parent gets the child, but the one parent hasn't got the child in 7 years.
You still go by the order. I know where you're headed. You still go by the order. And remember, it is different. Now, let me cover what I've been saying. Let me go back. That is if one parent has the child, more or less custody child, and the other parent just kind of has visitation. Now,
right.
If the other parent, the non-custodial parent, the one that's paying the child support, if they have the child more than like standard visitation, that is a reason the judge could deviate from the guidelines. He or she could do less.
Well, this parent hasn't got the child in 7 years.
Then you'd have to file something. Hey, I'm looking it up even as we go, and I'm gonna answer your question. That's right. $20,000 is the maximum amount that's on the child support guidelines. So what that means is when you add the both parents' income together, the guidelines stop at $20,000. And for one child, it's 15, 20. The numbers you use is 15, 20. Two children's 21, 40. Three children's 24, 54. Four children's 27, 51.
This is for one child.
Yeah. But now listen, that's. But you got to get back to the percentages. But mm-hmm. If you're really throwing numbers out of 15,000 versus 1 million, then I mean that's literally like 6% of income versus 94% income. So. If the income is greater than $20,000, I think the judge he or she does not have to follow the probably guidelines. They have to be fair, whatever fair mm-hmm. is.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But I was just curious because no one would give me a direct answer on what percentage when you have a parent making millions of dollars a year and then the other one making $15,000 a year. I just wondered how they base that child support guidelines on, because you've got some families, some men out here that pay $1,500 a month child support, and they only make, let's say, $40,000 or $50,000 a year, and you've got a person that makes $1 million a year, and they're, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
I'm just wondering how they figure that.
I knew a guy, I represented him, and he was, I think he paid child support for two or three children. I can't remember which one. He made $40,000 paying $1,200 a month.
Yeah. Wow.
So, a lot of it depends on, for instance, not taking sides, but the person that makes $1 million a year. If that someone is a self-employed person, they get to deduct off a lot of their deductions and stuff like that and overhead expenses and things to get down to what their income is.
This was actually just personal income, not business.
Yeah. If someone, I would say if someone's making over $100,000 a year, they're probably going to be paying $1,500 a month in child support.
Exactly. That's what I figured, but I was told through the court system when we went through this, it took two times going back to court, and then they just said it was based on the child's needs only.
Well, that is one thing that the judge has to determine. I mean, that is part of the child support thing. What based on child's needs, but also the whole idea behind child support. We've said this before, and it's true, and it tells you in the guidelines and in the rules is to. The child does not get punished. He is reason that you take just the parent's income is supposed to be what kind of lifestyle that child would have had if the parents were together. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you are married to Donald Trump, you know what I'm saying? You can't use Donald Trump's billions of dollars of income. you know, as a basis to for the other person not to pay child support. You know what I'm saying? It's based on your just your income and just the father's income. So while it's true that the needs of the child is important, but it's also a lot of other stuff. Sure. You have to take consideration the whole picture. So, yeah, you sound like you got some issues that needs to be looked into.
And I don't have a problem with the part of the child support. It was just, you know, I carry the insurance, plus, you know, he's supposed to pay all extras. So when you go to certify the receipt, I was told that I had to get receipts for all the extras that I paid and then send them to him certified mail. Well, his business doesn't accept over certified mail now, so there's no way of me getting him the receipts to pay for all extra activities.
You know, I'm going to tell you what Big D would do. I would hand deliver it to him.
I'd probably get arrested.
You know, and the reason behind the certified mail, and it is crazy, it's additional expenses and all stuff, but it's something to show that you actually did it. Because your order probably says this, like most of them do, if you incur expense within 30 days, you have to send the other person by certified mail a copy of the receipt that you incurred, and then they have 30 days to pay for it. You know what I'm saying? And the reason behind all of that is so that you don't sit here and get up like $3,000 or $4,000 worth of stuff at the end of the year and send it to the other spouse to pay. So that's the reasoning behind it all. But I guess that's pretty novel, saying we don't accept certified mail. But guess what? All you have to do is show that you sent it certified mail. If they don't accept it, that's their problem. They'd still be responsible for it in a contempt petition.
Well, see, I've sent four. They used to accept it. Now they don't accept it because the post office is saying that they have a P.O. box now that they cannot deliver the certified letter there now.
That doesn't make sense, does it?
I know. And I'm paying like, I think it was $27 to have certified mail twice. We can't deliver it. I was like, well, what's the point? I mean, how am I supposed to get it to them?
The home address. I mean, I don't think the courts require a business. You just send somebody's home address, and they're going to be stuck with it.
But don't they have to be there to get the certified mail?
No, I wouldn't think so.
If I certify it in their home, they don't have to be there.
If you got a case in front of Judge Nicholas, if you do everything you're supposed to, and the other person is trying to play games with you, he sees through it, and they'll be paying the money.
Okay. I hate to take up your time, but I really wanted to know about the child support.
I know that's always a hot topic.
Thank you for calling in.
Well, I appreciate it. Right,
bye bye. All right, Melvin, we're going to go to a quick break, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about monuments and murder, maybe.
Murder. We got to get into murder because it's important. And when you talk about the new monument law, they brought out some. It's pretty important. I need to tell you about that, too.
You're listening to Understanding the Law with Coleman attorney Marvelous Melvin Haston and Big D. We'll be back in just a moment.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. So we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
Music on the left side of the dial for the right side of your brain. We're 95.5 FM, Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law. We're going to kind of go back to what we were talking about before we spoke with our caller. So, Attorney General of Alabama is trying to get to Mayor Bell of Birmingham. So kind of tell me what's going on with that.
What happened was, last week, the elections is tonight, and I hope everybody gets out and votes in Birmingham, but the mayor's election in Birmingham's tonight. So, conveniently, last Tuesday night, Mayor Bell says, go out there and cover that monument up. This is offensive to everyone in Lynn Park. It's the Confederate Sailors and Soldiers Monument, Memorial Monument down there. So, some Birmingham City workers went and put up some plywood. They tried to cover it up with some tarps. It didn't work. Put up some plywood, painted it black, and did some stuff. And they just covered like half the monument up, which talks about Confederate stuff. It looks ridiculous. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. So instantly, since I filed the lawsuit against the Birmingham for doing that a couple of years ago, I had all these people was just blowing my phone up all night, and then Wednesday morning it was on. I had all these news reporters, everybody calling me and asking me about it, and what was going on, and the lawsuit, and we're going to sue, and everything else. And I was telling everybody, I said, look, there's a new monument, Heritage Preservation Act that was passed, and I said, you're probably going to have to look at it. And so I got to looking at it, and lo and behold, it talks about the Attorney General has a responsibility of enforcing that act. And it says that you can't deface, remove, I can't remember what all it says, but it says, or otherwise disrupt or cause anything, you can't affect a monument in any way. So I was saying, hey, that he's obviously disrupting that monument down there, the display of that monument. So that'll be up to the AG, and lo and behold, the Attorney General files a lawsuit on it. And in his lawsuit, he says within the act, it's a $25,000 fine for anybody that does it, that violates the act or violates, that don't go through the waiver process and stuff like that. So I thought, oh boy, that's a good victory. I had to teach him and everything else.
Right.
And then lo and behold, some brilliant lawyer, I think it was, he had commented, or there's an article, I think it's something I read again on AO.com, one of the news articles. He said that there's a problem with the monument law. So I went back and looked at it, and I thought, you know what? You are right. The monument law says any monuments over 40 years old, you can't do nothing with them. You got to leave them alone.
Okay.
All right. That's it. Period. That's it. Period. I promise that's it. Within that law, it says any memorial monument or any type of historical thing between 20 and 40 years old, you can go to this committee, apply for a waiver to move this stuff, do this stuff. If you don't do that, or if you violate the terms of the waiver, whatever else, that's the $25,000 fine. So the question is, the law says anything over 40 years, you can't do anything to it. But there's no fine. It doesn't say that it's illegal. It doesn't say it's unlawful. Right. Because if it was illegal or unlawful, this is what's great. If it said it was unlawful to do it, the Attorney General could get an arrest warrant and arrest the Birmingham mayor for doing it. You know what I'm saying? And it would have been a crime, but he didn't. He didn't do it, but there's a problem with the law, and I think that everybody, that they're realizing that. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how that shakes out, because I don't know how the judge is going to rule on it. And as a matter of fact, I did know, and I should know right now, I think he set a hearing date on this, if he's going to enter a restraining order on it. That's going to be interesting arguments about what is the penalty if you violate the act, because he just says you can't do it.
Well, I just think that Mayor Bell thinks that he has the authority to do anything that Absolutely. He wants to do just because he's the mayor of Birmingham.
Just like Bob Bentley always said, you know, I always reminded people that the state capitol was not Bob Bentley's castle, and he was not the king.
Exactly.
He shares that state. He has a office in that state capitol, along with the auditor, along with numerous
exactly.
other things. That is not his castle, and that area around it's not his castle. That's why the Historical Commission was in charge of, he should never order the Confederate flags. They should went to the Historical Commission. They could have done it. Okay. Mayor Bell does not own Lynn Park. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And, that is not his backyard. And you can't pick and choose what you're going to do. It's just not fair. So I imagine this monument bill will come back up next legislative session and see what's going to happen. But, oh, it's going to be great. it's nuts, man. It's every day states everywhere. They're just pulling them down. They're defacing them. They're painting on them. And hey, you know, somebody, and this was funny, somebody had posted it. I think it was on Facebook. These bunch of idiots didn't pay attention. They went and wrote racist in red on Abraham Lincoln's on his statue somewhere. These idiots don't even know who's,
oh my God,
what they're protesting, who they're supposed to be protesting. It's just crazy.
But, you know, just to go back to the, I can't think of a lot of mayors that really go extreme, but let it be in the South. You know,
yes.
I mean, you're looking at New Orleans, now you're looking at Birmingham. And let me tell you something, you're not the president of the United States.
Exactly.
So anybody that has common sense should know, if you're voting in Birmingham, vote this guy out.
Absolutely.
Because he's nothing but trouble. He's yes. trying to cause racial tensions amongst people in Birmingham
Absolutely.
And outside of Birmingham. So now, if you want to live in a city where a man does that, well, then you're on your own.
You know, and I was telling all the people that was calling me, and then I was telling the reporters and stuff, I was like, you know, I really don't like this getting out like this, because he wins. This is what he wanted. And if you watch TV last Wednesday and Thursday, he was on all the news stations
oh, yeah.
and everything else. So he's seen where Charlottesville and Durham and all these other mayors and counties and stuff was getting attention. He has a election tonight, and he said, hey, this is my opportunity to go
exactly.
out and get
exactly.
this done. And that's what he did.
I mean, he wanted to get his name out there.
And he sure did.
Over one statue.
Yeah.
Okay. And he was very successful, because any news media is going to jump on him and let him be on
yes.
the radio,
yes.
on TV. We love our mayor. That's just a bunch of crap.
Yes.
And it just ticks me off just to even listen to it. So wake up, Birmingham, and get some of these politicians out
yes.
of there, because Birmingham has been nothing but a corrupt city for I don't know how many years. You've had the same people running that city for I don't know how many years, and they're all corrupt, and they're never going to change until you vote them out.
They either go to prison. They bankrupt. They bankrupt the city. They go to prison. They just do stupid stuff, and it's just a continuum. Yes.
So now you want to know why you'll never have a huge stadium in Birmingham for NFL or for college teams to play. Nobody wants to go to Birmingham. That's why.
And want the state capital moved up there and stuff like that. Never going to happen.
It'll never happen.
No. But Montgomery's just as bad. It's
oh, I know. I know.
And it's sad, man. It makes me sick.
It makes me sick to see all these longtime politicians in Montgomery that just basically run the state.
Yep.
And these, nobody will vote them out.
Nope.
I mean, come on. Get some common sense and turn your community around.
Yes.
Otherwise, don't be griping about it. Because that's one thing that just ticks me off, is people that gripe, but yet they sit back and take it. Big D for mayor.
They are voting, yes.
Yeah, they're voting.
Polls close in about 24 minutes, yes. So we'll find out. Unfortunately, I read that he had a pretty good little... I mean, he may win without a runoff, but maybe not. Maybe they'll team up and take him out. But, you know, you got to hope whoever gets in there is going to stop what's going on down there, too. So I don't know. I don't know if they can clean it up.
Oh, I doubt it.
It's just sick.
I doubt it. So our next subject,
murder, ain't that bad? I was looking on the news stuff like I usually do, see what some topics we can talk about, and all I seen was death. Everything I seen was about death. It talked about the fish dying in some river because of all the rain, and then you read about death here and death there, and people getting convicted capital murder eligible for the death penalty, and then. Then you got that story about the 5-year-old that you got there in front of you in Mobile.
That makes me sick. So this 5-year-old's found dead in Mobile by a daycare worker. Evidently, she abused the corpse. What kind of sick individual does that? What kind of sick woman does that?
Well, I don't know. And the story is still. It's still pretty hot. I was reading about it, and they found this 5-year-old in a driveway, I think's what I remember. And somehow this daycare worker's associated somehow. I don't know if she's associated with him or the driveway or whatever else, but they decided to charge her with abuse of a corpse, and they said there may be other charges pending. So I think what happened is they don't have enough to say she murdered this kid or was involved in it. So they try to come up with something to get her in jail, to hold her, put a little pressure on her, and see if they can get her to talk and see what happens. But I looked up the law of abuse of a corpse because I never heard of it. I'm thinking that that's probably just doing something malicious to a dead body. But it says that if a person commits the crime of abuse of a corpse, if he knowingly treats a human corpse in a way that would outrage ordinary family sensibilities. Now, I don't know who passed this law. I think it's Act Number 1977, but it doesn't make any sense to me. It says it may include knowingly and willfully signing a certificate as having embalmed, cremated, or prepared a human body for disposition when, in fact, the services were not performed as indicated. So I guess if you're a funeral director and I signed that I embalmed Daryl Netherly or whatever else and I didn't do it and I was doing it as a joke, I could probably be charged with abuse of a corpse. But you would think it'd be malicious. I don't even know how they got that against her, but a poor little 5-year-old boy's dead. It's bad. So maybe they'll find out what happened.
And if you go back on her arrest history, going back to November 91 for 3 counts of second degree theft of property charges, 2 counts of first degree theft of property, 2 counts of third degree theft of property, no driver's license. Whoo, that's a surprise.
Yep.
And failure to appear in court. Now, she was arrested a second time in August of 99 in Florida on first degree theft of property. Lady, get a job, for God's sake. No, holy, you're really ticking me off.
Hey, and it says that she's a daycare worker. Is that correct?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
She'd been there for a few months.
Somebody didn't do a background check. Oh, no. That's going to be a major deal if she's involved.
And when she was in Florida getting arrested, she was given a false name to police.
She has a fugitive from justice warrant. I looked on Alicorp to see if she's already had these charges against her, because I wanted to see if they put in there how she abused this corpse, but that the charges have not been filed with the court yet. They're not in the system yet, so I couldn't tell anything about it. But it's just
how in the world do you hire somebody in a daycare with an arrest record like that?
I don't know. I'm sure there'll be more come out about that one. That's a sick story.
But unfortunately, another 2 or 3 months, it'll be hush hush and nothing will be said again. Exactly.
Somebody
dropped the ball. Wow, that just ticked me off.
It's required by the law for you to do that.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely.
I would think so. Yes. Yes.
Yes. But you know, here, and I'm all for it. My kids went to one. The church daycare, some of them may be exempted somehow. Maybe.
Right.
I don't know that for a fact. But they're going to have to. I guarantee after this, if they find out that she's involved, there'll be some new laws for sure passed to take care of this stuff.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm not about new laws all the time. I think we're getting law to death with passing laws, but there are some things like that that needs to be.
And
if people are around your children or in charge of your children, then they absolutely should have a background check. Whether it's daycares, I don't care what kind of daycare it is, background checks for them, you know, schools and everything else.
I just hope they don't give her the death penalty and she'll sit there for 35 years. And I'll pay for her food and everything else while she's in prison.
Hey, you know.
That really ticks me off even more.
That brings up a couple of other little topics. We got some time. I have to hurry up, though. Here's one. Missouri halts the execution of a guy after new DNA evidence found. I don't know. I read the little story that the governor of Missouri, this guy was supposed to be executed today. The governor said, hold on. He is alleging that he's got new DNA evidence that shows that someone else's DNA was on the murder weapon.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that may...
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? You know, does that mean that he didn't do it or he wasn't involved?
Exactly. You don't know.
You know, is he excluded? There's a lot of things to it, but it was enough. You know, most of the time a governor's not going to sit there and say, halt this execution.
All right.
You know, this governor did. He stepped up and said,
there's got to be some doubt.
Stop it and let's see what's going on here. So, you know, he was tried, he's found guilty, but I go back to the Innocence Project. I need to look, man. It's in the hundreds, 300, 400 people that have been exonerated. I mean, they've went back and they've determined they've been not guilty. And a lot of them's been on death row. So, I mean, this DNA stuff, it helps convict a lot of people, but it also helps in this case. And if the guy's not guilty of it, then of course he don't need to be.
No, and this was 4 hours before he was supposed to be executed.
Could you imagine?
No, I can't.
He's ordered his last meal.
Yes.
He's met with the priest
and
everything else. He is going to die, and he knows it. But his lawyers should probably tell him, hey, look, we're all right.
Right.
I know you got to believe in me, we're all right, but sheesh, that would be rough.
Jeez. And you know what? If he's innocent, I hope he sues the crap out of somebody.
Yeah, and I hope he's be able – I hope if he is innocent, hopefully this comes out, you know, and he is set free. But if he's not.
So, Melvin, how many people has been executed wrongfully?
There's a bunch. There is a bunch. There is. It is unbelievable.
I know.
There's a bunch. You know, I get books and I read some of them, and they, you know, they find out there was. What was his story? There was. It was a crazy story. There was somebody that was executed. There was already, I mean, this was a long time ago where they hung, like, you know, within two months of getting found guilty, you hanging from a tree. So this person's already been hung from a tree. And then someone else, they figured out that he didn't do it. Someone else did it. And they tried, they was trying that person and they was throwing up an argument, but heck no, you know, it's, you done found somebody
exactly.
else guilty of it.
Exactly.
I didn't do it and all that. That was kind of a, I don't know if that person was successful in that argument, but Lord, that's crazy. There's a couple of other things. I was watching my wife is fascinated with the ID channel, the Investigation Discovery channel. It's all about murder, and I think she's learning stuff. I think she's trying to learn how to get by with it. No, she loves it. And listen, it's got me. I watch it. You know,
really?
Yeah, because I try to see what's happening and what's going on. But there's a lady named Cindy Reese down in Jefferson County, and lo and behold, a few weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, it talks about this lady from Morris, Alabama. It's like, oh, wait, that's just right around the corner. So they had a story on this. And this was, I mean, she just got convicted January this year. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of shocked me that she was already on these big murder TV channels and stuff. But anyway, her and her pastor
easy
at a church.
Now.
Yes,
easy.
She was the music director at the church and her pastor started having a relationship, and then she decided that, hey, I need to get rid of the old man so I can be with my newly found lover pastor. So
here we go.
So she talks to pastor about hiring somebody to kill him, and I think she ends up killing her husband and gets convicted of it.
Wow.
And she tried to get her case overthrown by the appeals court, and that was the news that her appeal got denied. So she'll serve her 40 years in prison.
Yes, she will. You're listening to Understanding the Law. We will be back in just a moment.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof. You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, Cardio Sculpt, or Dance Fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors-only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
We're the all-new Live 95 WRKM-LP Coleman.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law. So look, we have hot off the press. Melvin, if you want to speak on that just for a minute, we're going to talk about former Coleman High School principal Elton Bolden. Now, of course, he was arrested some time ago on trespassing charges, and wow, that just shocked everyone, I think, in the community that this happened. And Mr. Bolden, he actually retired in August 2016 after a 28-year teaching career, and so evidently this goes to court. And
yeah, he was already tried. It's a misdemeanor charge, so a misdemeanor is not a jury case. It's a judge case. So he's already tried in front of a judge. The judge heard the arguments and heard the case, the evidence, and I guess they convicted him of it, found him guilty of it. Then he appealed it, which he has the opportunity to do it. Now he's in front of a jury, and apparently he's in front of a jury right now. So I don't know much about the case. I can't comment on it, but there's something that was brought to our attention and somebody had a question about, and I'll try to answer this question. Apparently, he's the defendant, so apparently his lawyers filed a motion to acquit. And it says he is citing a state law that exempts public servants from trespassing charges if they're lawfully conducting their duty. So apparently, this is what happens. You try a case, the state puts on their evidence. When the state says, all right, judge, the state, rest, the judge sends the jury back to their deliberation room, the jury room, and then he says, all right, does the defense have any motions? So a motion you always do as a defense attorney is, judge, we're asking you as the court to acquit this, to enter a judgment of acquittal because the state has failed to prove their case. So a judge at that time, if they determine that the state has not met their burden of proof, or they forgot an element of it, they can throw it out. For instance, I had a case I had tried. I've tried numerous of them, but there was a case where a guy had assaulted a police officer, and police officer came and arrested him and everything else. And anyway, we showed the guy was asking for a warrant, and there were some issues with it. And anyway, I found some legal arguments that backed me 100%. I'm not saying the guy did what was right, but regardless, because of the legal arguments, the judge over the case had to throw the case out because they didn't have the authority to do what they did. The police officers didn't. So that's an example. So it's not a fact situation per se. It's really more of a legal. You know, you didn't meet all the elements of your crime. For instance, and this has happened, if the state doesn't prove the value of the property taken in a theft case, then the judge has to throw it out. And, you know, it's not up to the jury. So this right here, you know, I guess what's glaring out is they're saying, hey, there's a state law that exempts public servants from trespassing if they're lawfully conducting their duty. Apparently, the judge ruled that's not an issue because the jury question, the fact question, is lawfully. Are you lawfully doing what you're supposed to? So be kind of interesting to see how that comes out.
It will be. I know that was a kind of a shocker to everyone when we seen that happen. So we're running limited time, so let's get down to our last subject that we're
going
to talk
about. The death penalty stuff, man. And, Lord, this is going to cause an uproar, and it already has. Both these stories come out today. There's a 22-year-old guy that's convicted of killing two other people in 2015 in Blount County, and he gets life without parole. So he's been arrested. He's going to die in prison. 22 years old.
Right.
He's going to spend arrested because he did something stupid, just ignorant. But anyway, so he spends the rest of his life in prison. There's a Huntsville church. There's some guy that kills two elderly brothers to death at Huntsville Church, and he gets life in prison. Both of these get life in prison without parole because the jury, that's what the jury chose for them.
Okay.
So we don't know a lot of facts. When you read the stories, you think, oh, these people are going to get the death penalty.
Right.
But the jury heard everything and said, all right, we're going to give these people their life without parole. But the interesting thing is the Huntsville judge wanted to wait because she was like, that's not necessarily true. This new law says you have to do what the juries do. And this Huntsville judge says, no, wait a minute. This happened before this new law passed, and they're still under the old law. So that piqued my interest when I was reading stuff, and I thought, wait a minute. Now, the law states now judicial override is gone. If a jury votes life without parole, that's the only sentence they can get.
Okay.
If a jury votes death, that's the only sentence they get. The judge can't override it. That's the new law as of April 11, 2017. But here's the problem with that law. The law says this act shall apply to any defendant who is charged with capital murder after the effective date of this act, which is April the 11th, 2017. So when you read that first sentence, you think, all right, after April the 12th, anybody's been charged with it, you have to follow. It's the no judicial override. You have to do what the jury says. All right, this section also says this, and shall not apply retroactively backwards to any defendant who has previously been convicted of capital murder and sentenced to death prior to the date of this act. So what they're saying is, what the legislature meant was, you can't, if you've already been sentenced to death, you can't use this new law. Okay, if a jury voted you life without parole, the judge says, no, I'm going to give you the death penalty, and you've already been done that prior to April 11th, in this new law, they're saying you can't go back and challenge your death sentence because of that, which is going to go nowhere. The Supreme Court's going to overturn that. The United States Supreme Court, that's going to be a big issue. They're going to say you can't do that,
right.
I think is what they're going to say. But this law also says anybody after this date, you got the judicial override. So the judge can't override from now. If you're newly charged, here's the problem. That says convicted and newly charged. What about all these people that are currently got the capital murder cases against them? So that judge in Huntsville brought out a point because she went to some judicial conference and all these judges got together and they're all lawyers too. And they realized that and said, well, wait a minute. That new law says that it only applies for people that are charged after April the 11th, 2017, when it became effective. So she's saying this is a current charge, so you can't do it. But the law does it. It does not take care of this people in the middle.
Right.
All right. It says you can't go back if you've already been convicted. And it says you can't go back and get your sentence changed. And it says if you're from past April 11, 2017, there's no judicial override. But all these people that are currently charged with capital murder, they're in limbo. So that is going to be a major deal. So again, I like beating up on a legislator too. And listen, I know people don't like lawyers. I didn't like lawyers before I was a lawyer. Right. I did. They're all scumbags. You know, you hear all this stuff about lawyers are scumbags and sleazeballs and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you, it is important. I mean, and I know I'm a lawyer, and I'm going to try to build us up. There are bads. There are bads in every kind of occupation.
Exactly.
But I'm going to tell you, lawyers are important for stuff like this. And we do not, and I know I'm very politically active in a lot of things, but this is a reason. This is a prime example of why you need attorneys in legislatures. You may not like them.
Right.
They may not be the best candidates. Mm. And I'm not saying every single legislature, but you need to have some down there. And really, them people need to be speaking up. When they pass this act, there's enough attorneys down there, and probably maybe even the author of these bills is probably an attorney. They should have caught that. Somebody should have said, well, what about them people that's in between? You know, why don't we fix this and do this bill right? You know, this monument law, and I'm glad Gerald Allen and all them guys got together and got this monument law passed. It would have been nice if somebody would have pointed out and said, hey, we got something about 20 to 40 year monuments. What about the 40 year and older monuments? What's the penalty if you don't follow the procedure in that?
Right.
You know, so it is nice for somebody to ask questions, in legislature. And listen, all the legislators that are non-lawyers, man, you don't have to be a lawyer, but just ask questions. Know what you're signing, know what you're voting for, and make sure everything's covered, because that is a big deal. That I promise you, this death penalty thing, the judicial override, which is good. I'm glad they did it, because I just don't think judges – I think if 12 people – actually, to get death penalty, you have to have 10 jurors to do it. So if 10 people – if 10 of the 12 said give you death, then you should get it. If a majority of the jurors, which is what's required in life without parole, if a majority of the jurors – if 7 jurors say he gets life without parole – then a judge shouldn't be able to override them 7 people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think it's a good law, because those people, listen, you know, if I'm a judge and I hear about these Huntsville guys stabbing these two, I mean, the people he killed was in their 60s. I mean, he stabbed them to death and robbed them at a church, I think. And, you know, if I'm a judge and just right off, you just think, you know, that's the kind of person that needs the death penalty. You know what I'm saying? But this, you know, the jury, listen, the same jury that heard that case is the same jury that said, we're going to give this guy a life without parole. For whatever reason they did, they decided to give him life without parole. And I know it's crazy, because he needs to be hanged.
Right now.
His story needs to be hanged.
Right, you know, now. Get it over with.
It's bad. Quick question.
All right, we have one quick question.
It's from Miss Brenda Parrish.
Our co-host on the Big D Radio Show. So,
oh Lordy, I'd have to read about this. I believe she's probably about the PHIP. I know just a little bit, but I don't know enough about it, Brenda. We're right here at the end of time. That's something we need to take up about probably the insurance premiums and stuff. I'd have to read a little bit more about that and see what that.
So maybe next week you can
maybe about it. Yes, because. You know, it's the PHIP, the educators, the AEA, their association represents them and stuff. So I don't know what all it is, but apparently there's a lawsuit on it, and I guess I don't know who won or who didn't. I can't remember exactly all the facts, but somebody ended up taking it to the Supreme Court.
Actually, Brenda was on the Big D Radio Show last weekend, or last Thursday. She was our co-host, so very active.
Yeah, we're going to write it down. I'm going to look it up and see what, because I'd like to know a little bit more about it. But.
Well, Melvin, the hour went by way too quick.
Yeah, hey, we got a guest coming next week, don't we?
Flip the page forward a little bit.
Real quick before we go.
One of the candidates for Attorney General. One of the candidates for Attorney General.
Yeah, he'd actually.
Right there. He's
Sam McClure.
Sam McClure will be in next Tuesday, is that correct?
We'll have Stacey George.
And then we'll have Stacey George, I think, on the Big D Radio Show, or is he going to be on?
No.
He's going to be on.
And Melvin will be here to
On Thursday. Okay. He's going to be on Thursday.
This coming Thursday or the next?
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
We'll get a full week of candidates.
Yes. How about that?
Great, ain't it?
All I can say is if these people actually get elected, I hope that they, whatever, hire me for something. Okay? Look, everybody else is corrupt. Put Big D down there. Give me a $100,000 job. Whatever. Directing traffic.
And you won't be corrupt.
No, Melvin, I'm not going to be corrupt. I swear I won't. Yeah, I'm very opinionated. So, look, you can check me out this coming Thursday on the Big D Radio Show at 6:30 p.m. following Path Changers. And, of course, we have our sports guys back. I think their show is maybe from 4 to 6, so make sure you tune into them. Great guys to listen to about the Southeastern Conference. And I have no idea what's going on the Big D Radio Show this week, but like I said, we will have Stacey George. He's running for governor of Alabama in about 2 weeks, and I'll figure out what's going on the Big D Radio Show Thursday when I pull up. That's just the way it goes around here. Thank you, Marvelous Melvin, on everything that you've taught us tonight. I appreciate it very much.
Hey, I've learned a lot today. It's been interesting.
Yeah, we can always learn something about law.
Yes.
So check us out again next Tuesday night for Understanding the Law at 6 p.m. And who knows, we may have a bunch of guests coming up. And then again, we may not. I'm just going to leave it right there and you'll be clueless. Thanks for tuning in to Understanding the Law. This is Big D for Marvelous Melvin Hastings. We'll see you next time.
broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful